Blog Talk Radio.
Show plan. We got Anything Goes. We have two contests up. One is Anything Goes and the other one is Happiness Is. So we're looking forward to some awesome rights today. And I'd like to introduce my co-host, and I think there's three more people on the line with me. So I'll start off. There's Naomi and Jody and Barb. So I will start off with Naomi. How are you, my friend?
Hey, hi, Diane. Great job opening up the show. You put us in a great, good mood. Yeah, doing good. How are you?
Awesome. Oh, I couldn't be better. Like I say, if I had a tail, I'd wag it.
Yeah, I've been so mild, such mild weather, my gracious. We're really lucky this winter. Yeah.
Yeah, we are too, but we're worried about a drought. We're worried because we didn't get no moisture over the winter, so we're worried about droughts. But yeah. So, hi, Barb. How are you?
Hey, Diane. I'm doing great. We had a delightful rainy day today, one of my favorite states of being. So I'm in the best mood, and you ladies have helped me stay there.
Oh, that's awesome. Then I hope after 2 hours you say that again.
I'm sure I will.
And Jody, welcome to the show, Jody. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I couldn't complain.
For some poetry. Yeah. Should be some good poetry
that's
tonight.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, everything's good on this end.
Right on. That's what we like to hear. Everything's good. If everything's good, then it's not bad. All righty. So we got a big show ahead of us. We got some awesome contests on the go. And sorry, I'm just
Okay.
So who did we want to go ahead and put? Are we starting with contest one? Discovery Meets Poetry, anything else?
No, we'll have to get the carryovers done first. We have a few carryovers from the Black Pumas contest and that artwork there. So we'll start with those.
Awesome. Well, let's get going.
All right. So first poem up, it'll be a SoundCloud, and it's by Eric Swenson. Merrily she swings sirens along. And it's, there it is.
Merrily
and
she swings sirens along. Monochromatic dawn yawns promissory notes. Silvery platinum sheen twinkles. Braided night gently lets go. Detangles like lovers swaddled in cotton sheets, creases unfold to release butterfly expectations. Sweet honeysuckle blossoms quicken the senses, tender bare feet steps twinkle toes, dew arraignment glistens the first musical note, robin red rest anapests, delicate strident steps nightingale. Summer sunrise soon brightens rainbow colors, pushes away monochromatic insolence. Emerald green contorted willow billows an overt welcome. Pom-pom marigolds, Rasputin, tarty tangerine splashes. Cool morning garden shower shoes away niggling sleepiness nibbles. Grenadella arbor bears bashful bounty. Purple Faberjay eggs a queen's ransom. Flush exuberance dances the senses. Summer's bounty shift shapes rich colors. Bronze skin dapples in dimpled shade. Barn becomes a fortress strong. Paint studio doors sing outward. Invites pulsation of color penumbras inside. Virgin white canvas awaits ardent paintbrush advances. Thrill of first oil squeezed onto quantum creativity field. Dancing grams of sense immersion. Brocaded shapes collapse like skittles, filtered northern light expedites layered sections, movement meanders over shiny, smooth rocks. Gurgle, curdle of koi stream percussions under the wooden bridge. Pete cloaked by mauve moss, strictly come dancing for blue dragonflies. Swift change of direction encourages fine, brittle brush strokes. Turpentine doves collaborate to create gossamer wings. Merrily she swings, sirens along in her paint-splattered smock. End poem.
Wow, what a way. You know, Eric, I love Eric's sound clouds. They're just always so full, so involved and colorful. Even though it starts with the word monochromatic, it's so colorful. Silvery platinum sheen twinkles all throughout, just giving the dance of this lady. The last line, merrily she swings sirens along in her pink blabbered smock. I just love the imagery and the metaphors, and excellent job on this, Eric. Really, really well done. And Naomi, my friend, what was your take on this one?
I knew you were going to come to me first. yeah, you know, merrily she swings sirens along. Yeah, you know, just absolutely amazing. And, you know, even as the color, well, you know, monochromatic, you know, dawn, you know, the dawn is like a monochromatic, you know, color, that grayish color just before, you know, the sun rises. And like you see it in that picture there, that art by Jim Warren, which was in this contest. And but he goes so further, you know, he takes it to the silvery platinum sheen twinkles. And then, you know, he just takes us. Oh, my gracious. You know, there's so many beautiful lines in here. Summer sunrise soon brightens rainbow colors, the emerald greens, the pom-pom marigolds, Rasputin, tardy tangerine splashes. I really love that one. And, you know, so many other ones all through, you know, there's just so, you know, when you come to movement meanders over shiny, smooth rocks, gurgle, curdle of koi stream percussion under the wooden bridge. You know, I know that, you know, that's right, you know, down the road from me. You know, there's a great park with the river in it. And, but, you know, just so beautiful. And then also the blue dragonflies, which I just love dragonflies. And, you know, it's just like a gorgeous splash of color just right across the page from one end to the other. And, you know, I went further in the interpretation of this poem. You know, I took all those colors and I just went with the feeling that I got from the poem. And it's just like all this diversity, you know. The colors are like kind of like a metaphor for me for all the diversity of the people and the world coming together in one beautiful united community. But maybe that's me going just a little bit too far. It's probably just a siren dancing across the ocean here. But, you know, I like to, you know, get feelings from writings. And, you know, that's one of the feelings that I got. So amazing write, Eric Svensson, indeed.
Absolutely. Awesome writing. He created a dance that takes us all through with the colors and the dance and so many different actions going on at one time with the butterfly expectations and just a beautiful write. And I also want to say, you know, Eric provided us a SoundCloud for this and we really want to encourage, if you can't call into the show, if you want to make a SoundCloud and send it in, We would love to play your SoundCloud. There's nothing like hearing a poet's work in their own voice, and we would certainly welcome SoundCloud to put your poems on the show if you're not able to call in. So excellent job, Eric. And now we also have Infinite Destruction. Infinite D is on with us. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How about y'all?
Oh, yeah. Can't complain. We're loving it.
I can tell. Already some great work on the board.
Yeah, there's amazing rights on the board. Well, welcome to the show, Infin. Is it Infinity? I'm sorry, I'm calling you Infinity. I'm making you Infinity now. Okay.
That's all right. You want to make it easy, you can just say ID. That's what a lot of people abbreviate it down to.
ID?
ID,
like
yes.
ID it is. Well, welcome, ID. We're really glad to have you with us on the show. And next up, Barb, what did you think of Eric's rate?
Hi, thanks, Dan. I thought you and Naomi hit all the right notes on this. It is just filled with so much movement and feeling that comes from the colors. It's like you get up in the morning, you do this big yawny stretch, everything's still in black and white, but as the day heats up and the sun comes over the horizon, the colors come, the blood starts flowing through your veins, your day starts pumping, and I loved every single one of these lines. I'm a nature lover, and he just made me feel like I was in this lush, rich landscape that I just wanted to lie down in the grass and become part of it and turn a bunch of colors myself. I wanted to be a chameleon, and I would have been very active because there were a lot of colors going on. I was so excited when he got to the part in the poem where we actually got into an artist's workshop in the barn. What a delightful space that is to sit down and create and just inhale all the sensual activities going on and then transfer that onto a canvas. He just transported me to the most delightful place, and you can't ask for much more from a poem than to do that. So bravo, Eric. I really enjoyed your write.
Well said, Barb. I love how you brought out the morning, you know, how our day starts, and it is monochromatic when it starts, and you know, then it becomes a day. It evolves into our day, and I think you captured it so beautifully, dancing through a day. And I'd like to welcome our friend Miriam to the show. Miriam, how are you, girl?
Thank you. Apart from my eyes, I'm doing pretty well. And Doc seems to think it's just a matter of time and they're going to be all right. I had cataract surgery. But I'm not going to be able to comment today. I'm just hoping you'll let me read my poem and then maybe listen a bit because it's still very hard to read.
Absolutely, no problem. We'll get your poem up, and I'll skip you in the comments. And if you feel like you want to comment in any poem, you interrupt me.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
You betcha. And did I ask Jody, what did you think of Eric's poem?
Well, first off, I wanted to welcome ID to the show. And I was wondering, ID, are you able to stay with us throughout the show, or you got to leave early as well?
I cannot guarantee how long I'd be able to stay here. I may have to pop out and then come back, but my evening's pretty well free. It's just I may have sporadic interruptions, but I'm here
okay.
For it.
I appreciate it. far as Eric, he always I always enjoy his SoundCloud. He is a great read and write. You know, you count on him for an enjoyable SoundCloud for sure. I thought his use of nature's elements, you know, like the honeysuckle blossoms and robin redbreast, you know, it added a sense of tranquility and awakening to the poem. I also enjoyed the imagery of the paint studio. I thought that invited the reader to, you know, partake in the creation of art right alongside the poet. Very well done with that. You know, is it a sensory journey that, you know, celebrated nature and the creative process? So very well done.
Very much agree. Very much agree, Jody. It was really well done. And I think that's everyone. And Jody, you're posting poems, right? What do we have next?
Well, I was going to search real quick for Miriam's poem so she can get that in, but I don't see it anywhere. Is it on the... Oh, here it is. As soon as I said that, I found it. All right. So I'll go ahead and post that so she can get her poem in.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Back of the bus.
Yeah, there it is. Go ahead.
Tell me when to start.
No, you're good. Go ahead. I'll just let you know I posted it.
Okay. Back of the bus for Black History Month. 1965. I board the bus in Washington, D.C., bound for home from high school. The bus is crowded. I must stand clutching my bulky pile of books, holding the high rail with the other hand, hoping not to tread on any toes when the bus lurches. Gradually, we ride across the wide Potomac River, down the highway through the towns and smaller cities, past the forest parks, suburban gardens, past a yellow school bus dumping loads of children dancing with excitement. Black, brown, and white in rainbow raiment swirl together like pink box rivers. On the city bus, we too are swirled in color, sitting, standing, back or front, able-bodied youngsters giving place to weary older folk and shyly smiling women, their swollen bellies intimating budding life within. At every stop, some get off, but few get on. Empty seats appear. We high school children head to the rear, jostling together on a long back seat, joking, giggling, telling stories. Just 10 years ago, blacks were forced to sit in the back. I was so proud knowing my older brothers, each of them white with brown sprinkles, sat at the back of the bus by choice, defiantly joining their darker family. Miles to go, my friends. Miles to go. End poem.
What a wonderful read and write, Miriam. This is just amazing. The detail, I noticed the detail in this. Lines like past the yellow, no, there was, there it is, down the highway through the towns and smaller cities. And then past the yellow school bus dumping loads of children dancing with excitement. Like the detail, that you colored out the whole picture. You put a whole background in here and captured this bus ride. And you know, it's true. It's a hard thing to think about, but it was only 10 years ago. And you know, you do justice to this piece of telling, you know, especially with your brothers going and sitting at the back of the bus. I just think that is phenomenal. And you know, what courage and strength. That's the way it should be. Excellent, right? Very well done. And Barb, what did you think of Miriam's right?
I thought it was beautiful. I too thought it was wonderful that your brothers sat at the back. I loved your use of adjectives. You just made the whole scene come alive with the colors from the paint box, and the color was also in the bus. And you brought back so many memories for me. I rode the bus to and from my college. But I think, sadly, that whole era of the young standing up to give a seat to the elderly is past. But I do remember, you know, the gang of us sitting in the back and just giggling, and it brought back so many dear memories. But it's also a really important reminder that it wasn't that long ago that there was some severe injustices in this land, and, you know, still need to fight for justice to gain a better foothold. And I love how you ended it, which just indicates we still have so far to go. It's miles to go, my friends, miles to go. It's a real subtle indicator that we're making progress, but we're not there yet. I think it's not only a beautiful piece, I think it's an important piece as well. So thank you for that.
Very much for your comments.
Really, really well said, Barb. And like you, that last line, miles to go, my friends, miles to go, that those two lines say everything that the poem is attempting to say. It says everything. We've come far, but look how far we have to go. Awesome, awesome, Ray. And Naomi, my girl, what did you think of Miriam's poem?
Yeah, well, you know, you guys had so many beautiful things to say about it, and you know, justly so, because, you know, it's a great right, and like you said, it's Barb said, it's an important right. And me too, I zeroed in. The first thing I noticed was the 1965 and then the 1955 underneath the picture. And me too, you know, like you, Diane, I said, oh my gracious, it was only, you know, 5 years, 10 years separating that, you know. And you don't realize that, you know, 1955, not that long ago, and all this injustice was going on. And wow, you know, and you know, when you get back, me too, I zeroed into that last line, you know, miles to go, my friend, miles to go. We still have so much to fight, you know, there's so much racism still going on, and, you know, social inequity, you know, everywhere, you know, it's an ongoing fight. It never stops. And, you know, this ride is just amazing. Me too, it took me back to my childhood. I had an hour's drive morning and night to school because I went to a small English school, one of the only English schools because everybody's French here, but I did go to an English school, and I had to ride an hour to get to it, you know, me and my brothers. So it took me back there, and, you know, like Barb said, your adjectives in here, your descriptions are just, amazing. What an amazing right, Miriam. Wow, bravo.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well said, Naomi. And Jody, what did you think of Miriam's write?
Yeah, I thought she did a wonderful job with the read and write. You know, through her vivid imagery and her own personal recollection, I thought she captured a moment of reflection on the significance of bus segregation, you know, in the context of Black History Month. I thought the concluding lines, you know, evoked a sense of hope and recognition on the ongoing journey towards equality. So I thought you did a very good job with that. Nicely done.
I agree. Absolutely. And ID, what's your take?
So growing up pretty poor and being on a bus for school, because that was the only way I was going to get there, until we moved about a mile away from the school. I have to say that I kind of really got a lot of the imagery of what was going on here, and there wasn't really any, like, place to stand on the buses we had. I mean, I think it's pretty much enough seats for everyone, but I remember all the cool kids getting in the back of the bus. If you weren't in the back of the bus, you weren't a cool kid. And then looking back at, you know, the way the years used to be where, you know, you used to fight to get up front, to get a decent seat up front, and seeing how much it changed, you know, from to even when I was a kid. And I enjoyed this piece. Maybe I didn't quite get the whole context. I mean, I understood the context of it. Maybe the way it touched me wasn't the context of it so much as that it made me remember something as a kid. And I think it was a great piece, and I had some fun memories, not so fun, but, well, that's being a kid for you, I suppose. But it was a great piece, and I thoroughly enjoyed hearing it be read out loud and reading it alongside. So, great job.
Awesome. Thank you very much, ID. And Miriam, my girl, what an awesome piece. That was a beautiful write. What would you like to share on that?
Yes, I would like to share that my sister is a composer, and she's been working on a piece, working along with Rita Dove, who is a former national, oh my God, I'm sorry, I lost my words.
Poet laureate.
Thank you, national poet laureate, back in 1990, in the 1990s. So they've been working together on this, and on this performance, and they're needing to get some more funding for it. So I was working on helping them get the word out when I looked at the Discovering Me Through Poetry, Anything Goes To by Diane, and saw that one of the prompts she had on there was remembering a bus ride and who got on and who got off and all that, and I said, "Oh my gosh, I can kill two birds with a stone here and do a Black History Month thing on the in honor of Rosa Parks." So that's how the poem came to be.
Oh, that's awesome! I'm so glad you were inspired, because you did it justice, girl. You did a wonderful job for that prompt. Excellent work. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And Jody, where are you taking us next?
Okay, next I'm going to put up a poem by Robert J. Tice, and it's called The Motley Tree of Life. And Naomi, you want to give that a read?
Yep. Yes, right. I'm just posting it in here into PPP. There it goes. Okay, the Motley Tree of Life, or Motley. How do you pronounce that?
Motley.
Motley. Motley. The Motley Tree of Life. I tending to the Motley Tree, whose wide kaleidoscopic leaves come from no season or the sun, but something deeper than all bark, outside the thinning tips of limbs, much farther than the furthest roots, still reaching towards the core of earth. This tree grows nowhere, here or there, depending on what you would seek. The usual or something new, reflecting one or everyone. No one cuts down its towering truths. No flames or floods have held it back. No ice or lightning stunts its fruit, which falls at will and feeds who comes, who hungers for variety, for tolerance, of indifference, of individuality. When autumn's done and the other trees turn brittle and surrender leaves, the motley tree stays vivid, lush, as it has lived, and it must thrive, expansive, bright, unprejudiced, expressing every shade and hue, impartial, broad, still branching out beyond our sense and memories. This tree stands for diversity. All lives all lives and minds, all modes of change, all forms of being, what's become, what's present, and what may exist. I dream beneath the motley tree and wake up in its foliage, where spectral rays reveal what I'd never see if I'm not free to know myself prismatically, lit up with utter empathy, the light of love's totality, connecting me with everything. End poem.
Wow. What a wonderful write, and what an amazing read, Naomi. You did awesome on that. The motley tree of life. You know, he takes this tree and he gave it a life. He gave it its own identity within the cusp of trees. You know, it stands out. It stands out as a tree of life, and he gave it that that power in the description. When autumn's done and other trees turn brittle and surrender leaves, the motley tree stays vivid, lush, as if has lived and it must thrive. Just a beautiful description of this tree and its significance within this forest. Excellent, right? And you read that well, Naomi. What did you think on that?
Yeah, well, you know, this is an absolutely amazing piece by Robert here. And, you know, what a great extended metaphor used. You know, I just love the unique creative idea of a motley tree. You know, I want one in my backyard. But, you know, of course it's not a tree. It stands for, you know, the diversity, everything, the minds, the creativity, the acceptance, the everything that's good, the tolerance, of difference, the respect of individuality. It stands for all those things, you know, that are precious in life, you know, and that are loving and that come from the heart. And, you know, that makes us, thrive as a society, you know, a loving society together, you know, with a great acceptance. So, yeah, and I love the rhythm throughout of the imagery and, you know, just the cleverness and the brilliance of this piece. It's just such an awesome, awesome, intelligently written piece. So, thank you so much, Robert J. Tice, for you know, sharing this with us. Very thought-provoking, and, you know, it makes us really an important piece, too, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It is, because it's significant of life. It's not about a tree. This tree grows nowhere, here or there. It's about the significance of life and this motley tree of life. Life goes on the way other areas don't. And he describes it so beautiful here. And Barb, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful piece. It has a lot of really important messaging, and the part of his poem that really spoke to me was, no one cuts down its towering truths. No flames or floods have held it back. No ice or lightning stunts its fruit, which falls at will and feeds who comes. I love that whole thought that if you want to learn what this tree has to teach, it will make its knowledge accessible to you. So it has sort of an interaction with humans in that it is willing to educate you. It's willing to help you grow and learn of the knowledge and wisdom that it bears. I love that. Even the evilest intents will not stunt its growth or kill it or deny its truths from being spread. I love that it has very deep roots, that its limbs grow everywhere and nowhere, which implies that this knowledge and this love and this generosity of spirit and this inclusion of all peoples is accessible to all peoples in a global way. It's very unifying concept. I did find it interesting that he used the word motley to describe this amazing tree, because motley is like, it's something that's is usually not a positive adjective. It's like, this is like a disheveled thing, a not A-list thing, and yet it is the most miraculous entity on the planet. So I thought he did a really good job of creating a very positive, spirit-filled, hopeful right for humanity that stems from nature and the wisdom that it can give to us. I loved it.
Excellent. Well said. And I agree with it. I agree totally with everything you said. It just, this, the way it was captured, just beautifully done. And Jody, what did you think, my friend?
Oh, yeah. They were excellent comments. I thought Naomi did a wonderful read of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it celebrated, you know, individuality and, you know, tolerance and, you know, the interconnectedness of all beings. You know, really urged the reader to embrace their own uniqueness and empathize with others. I really like the imagery of where he's dreaming beneath the tree and waking up in its foliage. How that vividly portrayed the transformative power of empathy and love and connecting us with the world around us. So, yeah, I thought he did a great job with this piece.
He did, yeah. He did a wonderful job. And, ID, what did you think of this?
Ow.
ID, still with us.
I think, yeah, he said he was going to be right back. Oh, no, he is back. Hi.
I'm here.
Hello? Oh, okay.
Hello. No, let me pull this piece back up. So I heard you read, but when I had to hop off for a moment. So this particular stanza, when autumn's done and other trees turn brittle and surrender leaves, the motley tree stays vivid, lush, as it has lived, and it must thrive. I don't know, I just, something about that stood out to me. Like, when everything else is fading away or failing to keep going forward, the tree of life just keeps standing and keeps going. I don't know, I just found that one stanza in there was very powerful. The whole piece had some very powerful words to it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And you did a great job reading it for him. but yes, definitely, I enjoyed this piece a lot. It was a great piece of work, for sure.
Absolutely. Well done. And, okay, Jody, if you could take us to the next one. And Naomi, if you comment or kick off the comments, I will be right back.
Okay, no problem, Diane.
Jody, quick question.
Yeah.
I should have one lined up next, but just in case I get interrupted, the one after that, could you slot me in?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. I appreciate you.
Hey, no problem. So next we have My New Therapist by Ed Hunter. And I'll give that one a read. My New Therapist. I went to a new therapist today. He said, "Can you sit for an hour and relax?" I told her the other therapist said she wishes her other patients could do a quarter of the things I do. And I said to my new therapist, "If I sit for an hour, I'll fall asleep, and that will be it for the rest of the day." He said, "Try anyway." Today I ruined my entire day. I felt worse when I woke. I had a migraine, and I was even more exhausted. I think I'll listen to my first therapist and go fishing. End poem.
So that, oh yeah, it's me. Okay, Barb, what did you think of that one?
Yeah, I thought it was funny, but I think it's also a sad reality for a lot of people. I think you really have to shop around for a therapist because it is an absolute relationship. There's a lot of give and take, a yin and yang, and you got to only want to take advice from someone who you respect. And it sounds like this narrator was struggling with respecting a second psychoanalyst. And I love his final conclusion that he's going to go with this first guy and go fishing. I thought it was a really sweet poem, but I think it does also show the importance of making sure you get the right therapist, because the wrong therapist can make you need a lot more therapy. So well done, Ed.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and it's so important, like you said, Barb, that you know, that complicity that you have with a therapist, whether it be your psychiatrist or whether it be, you know, your psychologist or, you know, or even just, you know, what they call a life coach now. My daughter has one of those now. Well, in French, it's in coach de vie. It must be life coach in English. And, you know, and they really do help when they have when you have that complicity with them. But, you know, I just laughed at Ed's poem, you know, and he meant it to be humorous, you know. But, you know, it is thought-provoking at the same time. What did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I thought it captured, you know, the struggle many face in navigating therapy and self-care. You know, it reflected on the internal conflict of trying to follow professional advice, you know, while you know who you are, so you know your own limits and needs. But, you know, at the end he suggests, you know, finding solace in the activities that bring personal comfort, and even if it don't fit conventional notions of relaxation. So, yeah, I thought he did very well with that.
Absolutely. And Diane, you're back?
Yes, ma'am, I am back, and I just got a chance to read this one. And what a fun little brevity, you know, what a fun, I just love the humor in it, my new therapist. And he tells me that I have to sit for an hour. Well, I'm not going to sit for an hour. And just excellent, you know, right on seeing a new therapist and where they want to take you. And then at the end of it all, you have a migraine. It's just a powerful little write on this. Ed did a great job. And did everybody comment on this?
I don't think ID did.
Oh, okay.
Okay. ID, would you like to go ahead and comment on this?
Maybe he had to go away.
Might have to have stepped out again, yeah. Okay, well, if everyone commented on that, then we can move on to the next one. Jody, what are we putting up next?
Well, I was going to put ID's poem up next. He asked me to put it up next, but let me go back and get a different one. Because I guess he's not here now. Let's see. There we go. All right. Hold on 1 second. Sorry about that. Lost my spot.
Do we
Hello?
Have a right to put up?
I'm trying. I lost my list. I wasn't expecting to have to go back. I hit back too many times, I guess. Let's see. Here we are. Sorry. Okay, so next we will have is by Hats. And, Okay. You already put it up? Okay, cool. When love snows with color and scents by hats. And Puddle, you'd like to give that a read for us?
Sure. Thanks, Jody. Right. When love snows with colors and scents by hats. Outside the windows, cold wind twists, and into my days love falls as feathers of angels in silence. The hair on his temples is graying, like when my tiny frozen flakes of snow fall on a roof, and his blue gaze wraps me with warmth. Eyes surrounded with wrinkles of laughing, kissable lips hidden in white beard, just tickling me here and there. He awakens the long-forgotten feelings in me. A smile settles on my mouth. Mixture of the apricot sweetness of my limbs and the curry spices of his skin, tantalizing taste buds. No fluttering butterflies in the stomach, nor platysine knees, nor faint dew. Within me is a desire to put my feet into his lap and discuss the whole night long about everything and all. End poem.
Excellent read and write. Great read. And I just love what Hats did with this again, the personification of love and giving love this beard of that tickles and everything. It's just a beautiful imagery and excellent representation of love and how love personified can become a person to you and wrap you up in their life. Just a beautiful right. And Jody, what did you think of that?
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent right. I really love the metaphor she used of the love falling like feathers of angels and silence. You know, I thought it evoked a serene atmosphere. You know, while the description of aging gracefully and finding warmth in each other's gaze, you know, added depth to the relationship portrayed in the poem. You know, overall, I thought it was a very eloquent poem that, you know, expressed the enduring nature of love and the comfort found in shared companionship. So, excellent, right?
Very much agree. Very, very brilliant, right? And ID, are you back with us? So I will move on to Barb. Barb, you read that beautifully. What did you think of that?
Oh, I thought it was a delightful poem. I mean, everyone says that in poetry, you're supposed to show, not tell. And I just had to quickly scan it a second time to confirm that indeed the entire thing is just soaked in tones and notes of love. It's an absolute tingly love story, and yet she only uses the word love once. She only uses a word that is synonymous with love, just the word love. Everything else is a description that is drawing you and describing the feelings that this love is engendering in her, how his white beard tickles her in. It talks about snow and frozen flakes, and he wraps her in warmth, and long forgotten feelings settle in a smile on her mouth and sweetness of his limbs. All of that speaks to love without saying the word love, which is, to me, perfect poetry. I thought she did a really fine job because by the end I was tingling. I was looking for my white-bearded gent to put my feet in his lap. He did a fabulous job describing just a really romantic, sensuous, and yet a very pure and heartwarming love. I really enjoyed it.
For sure. Yeah, I did as well. And Naomi, what did you think of this?
Well, you know, Hats is one of my favorite poets, and, you know, this is why. My gracious, you know, like Barb said, you know, show, don't tell. You know, create those emotions within a person. Don't just talk about them. you know, make them feel, you know, infuse us with those emotions that you want us to feel, you know. And she does that in such an eloquent and beautiful way. You know, I was just sighing at the end of this poem. I was just going, oh, you know. It's all that love should be, you know. When she talks about the feelings of the butterflies in the stomach and the plasticine knees and all that. Yeah, you can get that in the beginning. But if you don't have that long lasting, like that soul connection, you know, that truly knowing and respecting and appreciating the other person and you know, getting along with them, you know, you don't have that true long lasting love that you just want to talk all night long and just, you know, like she says, you know, put your feet in somebody's lap and just, you know, just talk about all night long about everything and all, you know. And, you know, this makes me think of my parents who've been together for what now, 50-some years, you know. And, you know, when I see them, I see this kind of love, you know, with their looks and at each other and their little jokes and, you know, just the way my father will go around the kitchen and get in my mother's way. My mom will, you know, get mad at him. But, you know, it's just, you know, this kind of love, and she portrays it here so beautifully. And bravo, Hats. Thank you so much for this.
Absolutely. Thank you for sending that in, Hats. As usual, another amazing write. And Jody, where are you taking us next?
All right, next I want to post ID's poem, A Madman's Monologue on Madness. And there you go, ID. Oh, he's not back yet? I thought he meant he was back when he said he was distracted. Well, let me grab another phone. 1 second.
I thought he said that too.
That's all right. I got someone.
Okay.
Next week we'll go with She Is a Dream by Shalina Krish. Diane, you want to give that a read for us?
I would love to, Jody. Thank you for asking. Did you ask me to read that? Jody.
Yes, Diane.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I would love to read that. Thank you very much. She Is a Dream by Shalini Krish. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Shalini Krish. Beautiful name. She is a dream, the dream and the dreamer. Oak leaves swayed to the tap of her sapling heart. Elderly barks loved when she hugged with tender arms. Sparrows thought she was a human butterfly. Peonies competed to be her hairband. She heard two nightingales at night sang a soulful melody from ocean's lap. Seeping moonbeams milky a mermaid song. She sensed dying reveries pleading daylight's pause. And some part of her that she never felt. Sometimes green, elsewise pink, or violet and blue with yellowy tinge. She sent floating rainbows in ocean's hands and waited this side for sea nymph's smile. She tried to hear birds among glass and blames, crimson lost beauty and bloody stains, murders and laments more than she could take than this pain. She closed herself every inch and breath, and gave herself to the still black flames. She opened her eyes to the liquid sky, squishing her vibrant fins from every side. Above, below, moving sapphire sky, no warplanes but sea urchins, the stars of oceanic sky. jellyfish waved electric strands, fluorescent beams of contagious joy. Still she heard a feeble gasp, a little girl's voice, tired and sad. She sensed an ache, impinging tattered bones, and some part of her that she left behind. Water poems she sent in pearls and shells and waited this side for an innocent smile. White anemones flew, imitating her silver hair. Fireweed smoothed not to stain her. They called her the mermaid of light, for she is a dream, the dream, and the dreamer. End poem. What a beautiful right. She is a dream, the dream, and the dreamer. Just colorful, the imagery that Shalini has put in here of, and the metaphors and the colors, like I couldn't get over, or violet and blue with a yellowy tinge. She sent floating rainbows in ocean's hands and waited this side for sea nymph smile. Just an amazing rite with so much imagery and so much depth to the piece. Very well written. Excellent, right? And what did you think of that, Barb?
Yeah, I thought she did a great job. I wasn't sure whether she was a land dream, an ocean dream. It sounds like she's a dream that is like the tree, everywhere and nowhere. But certainly the imagery was impeccable. It was beautiful. It was graceful. It was flowing. It was exquisite. And this is a poem that really invites you to spend some time to unpack some of the more subtle meanings. Like I loved her beginning, which immediately makes you realize it's kind of truth and it's kind of dreamy. It's like she is a dream, the dream, and the dreamer. I mean, you could spend 10 minutes trying to truly understand the nuance of the meaning she's implying there. And then it goes on, oak leaves swayed to the tap of her sapling heart. Saplings just are young and they're pure and unblemished. So obviously this is a very sweet-natured entity. And elderly barks loved when she hugged with tender arms. So this is a young sapling heart who knows truly how to love and love on all those around her. I found it interesting that there was a part where, a section where she left all this beautiful positivity and then got into nightmare space. And I'd love to, I am going to spend more time with this poem to try and unpack the meaning of that. I suppose it's just saying that not all dreams are completely positive, that even in the best life, there's going to be trial and there's going to be sadness and there's going to be struggles. But depending on your focus, you really can just live in the beauty of it. I thought she did a marvelous job of layering this story so that there's just a rich tapestry that I really want to pull out thread by thread and just sit with it for a while. I think it's just so rich and full. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a beautiful write with so much imagery, and I the message I got out of it is like she's talking about this mermaid, this where is it? I just saw it a minute ago. Where did I see it?
Yeah, where she's talking about fins, right? That's what made me think perhaps she was a mermaid.
Yeah, and then at the end, she is talking about fins and where is that line?
At the bottom, Diane, the last stanza.
She opened her eyes to the liquid sky, squishing her vibrant fins from every side.
That's it. Squishing her vibrant fins from every side. So she captures this mermaid of light, she called her. and called her a dream, the dream and the dreamer. And I have to wonder, you know, what this mermaid of light is significant in this dream. And it, is this a dream that, you know, like there was also some sadness in here talking about a little girl. And I have to wonder if this dream isn't a dream of, not a dream that somebody had, like a nighttime dream or anything like that, but a dream that that's what could come for them. That's, that this mermaid of light could be their life, this little girl's life. And I don't know, I felt so much emotion in this piece that it was so well written. And ID, you're back with us, I think. What did you think of that?
Unfortunately, I wasn't here for it. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. And Jody, what about you, my friend?
I thought she did a beautiful job capturing the ethereal essence of a dreamer. You know, weaving imagery of nature and emotions seamlessly throughout. You know, the vivid descriptions and lyrical language she used, you know, really drew the reader into a world where dreams and reality, you know, intertwine. I thought it left a lasting impression of wonder and introspection, for sure. Very well done.
For sure. Very well done. And Naomi, what was your take on this?
Yeah, you know, I'm with Jody on this one. You know, I think she really she took a dream, the dream, and a dreamer, and she personified them all throughout the poem. And, you know, she you know, through surrealism, as Jody said, intertwined with reality, you know, a bit of fantasy here and there, like the mermaid, and, you know, the with beautiful metaphors of the ocean and the sky and beautiful splashes of colors everywhere. And I gave this one the silver just because I had to reread it a couple of times and because I thought it was so layered and so profound. And it just amazed me. You know, I thought it was such a clever concept and it just left me with a feeling of wonder at this beautiful rite. So, yeah. Beautifully well done. And I think you guys, you know, you captured the essence of it and your great, great comments. Bravo, you guys, tonight. Awesome comments, all of you.
Oh, and Naomi, I was just going to say with your comment, you grabbed the word I was looking for when you said it's so layered. That's what I found about this piece. It was layered in a sense that it just flows through each stanza. And everything that was packed into this piece, it didn't take away from the layering of it. It gave this a puzzle piece, like a puzzle that was put together. It's just a beautiful write. And I think that's everyone. So, Jody, where are we going next?
All right, ID, third time's the charm. I'm going to post ID's poem, A Madman's Monologue on Madness.
All right, whenever you're ready.
You're good.
Okay, all right. Madman's Monologue on Madness. Madness? What doth ye know of madness? The inanities of insanity could be profound, but the beautiful crazy couldst be cemetery silent, for perhaps the dead is wiser than us old. Wisdom? Wisdom is madness, I say. To know the facets of all couldst be a curse. But wait, what of the hauntings of the unknown? The seers want blindness, and the blind beg to see. Silence? The audacity! Speak now or know no peace. Noise? Oh, such noise! Be gone, O foul consuming demon! War? Bloody war! Take arms, perchance to die! Peace? So unpleasant! Who'd want the bore of perfection? No compromise, middle ground. You think it the answer? Let everything be gray? Nay, the balance, too stagnant. But tip the glass and ye shall see. Oh, what flowing catastrophe! For one is too much for some, but too little for many. So I shall ask once more, madness, oh, sweet madness, what doth ye know of madness? In poem.
Oh, I love this. I love this idea. Madman's monologue on madness. Madness is a great one to put down on, to ink out exactly what is madness and what do you know of madness. And I love your color. Like, you read that. Just amazing. It's so awesome to hear it in your own voice. You knew where you wanted to raise the bar or lower the bar. Like, you read that. And took me into it, took me right into the poem and wouldn't let me go until the last line, what doest you know of madness? And I love your, ye think it the answer, let everything be gray, nay. I just love this piece. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Naomi, what did you think of this?
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, you know, the reading was just amazing. And, you know, I really liked, you know, it all through, you know, all the questions asked. You know, you like really like you're inside of a madman's head here. But I really, really liked, but tip the glass and ye shall see. Oh, what flowing catastrophe. For one is too much for some, but too little for many. And it's so true, you know, that glass half full, half empty, you know, overflowing, you know, whatever, you know, it's never okay, you know, for the masses, you know, it's just, you know, what is madness? What is it, you know, and what is perfection and what is, you know, what is everything? You know, you ask so many questions. It's just such a thought-provoking piece and amazingly well performed. So thank you so much, Ivy.
Yes, very well performed, brilliantly read. And Barb, what did you think?
Yeah, just to piggyback on what Naomi was saying, I also love that whole thing. It was just like the counterpoint is like too much for some is too little for many. It's like you can't have it both ways. And just the stanza before, silence, the audacity, speak now. Noise, oh, such noise, be gone. It's like you want silence, but you don't. You want noise, but you don't. War, bloody war, take arms. Peace? So unpleasant. Like, yeah, we want war. Well, we want peace, but it's kind of yawn, boring. It's like the good angel, the devil on your shoulder. Who's going to win? And I do think we have both of those voices battling in each of our souls. And it, depending on the day, which one wins. But I think you also nailed it. I don't know whether it's you, Diane, or you, Naomi, who called it a performance. That was so impeccably read. I really felt like I was at a Shakespearean play. It was beautiful, and it added such a tone and a musicality to it that it just completely drew me in, and it helped me understand the meanings behind each of the words and the stanzas and the lines, and I just enjoyed it from tip to tail. It was beautiful. Well done, ID.
Thank you, thank you.
Very well said. Very, very well said. And Jody, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought, you know, the poem delved into the complexities of madness, for sure, you know, presenting it as both a curse and a source of wisdom. Scholars and artists have debated for centuries whether it was madness or genius that, you know, drove people to do the art that they do. But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. You know, but I love how you got into character as well throughout the read. It was a great read. Inviting the reader, you know, to ponder the nature of madness and its profound implications. Very well done.
Very well done.
And would you like to comment on your right ID? I'd love to hear from you on this.
So what I started out with, and this is going to sound kind of funny, so I like to play a video game called Skyrim. And on there is a guy who's like a zealot for a specific deity that a lot of the founding people are trying to say is not a deity. And he's kind of always on this loud, obnoxious ramble about him. And there is a different deity who is called Sheogorath, who is the goddess of the god of madness, excuse me. And I got to thinking, what would it be like if this guy was spouting off some stuff that come from Sheogorath, an acolyte of him, rather than the other guy? And I was just like, well, what is madness? How can I describe madness? And then it's from there that I that this poem came to be. And it, I mean, pretty much from there as well, it also wanted to be like, what if somebody who's mad was to go on a rant about what you call me mad, but look at all the things that you chase after that are complete opposites of each other. And you're never satisfied. And, you know, then there's always, you know, you want to know everything, but once you know it, you wish you hadn't. Or if you don't know it, then not seeking it is also considered wrong. So what really is right? And that's, again, the idea behind it. Y'all picked it up pretty much perfectly.
Well, you know what, ID, you attempted to describe madness here, and you did it beautifully. Madness is just that, madness. How do you find anything within madness except silence, noise, war, peace? Like, just beautiful capture here. And the top of the night of it all was, you reading it, you read this amazing, and you took us into your world of madness, of what madness is for you. Excellent, right? Brilliantly done.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, and thank y'all for letting me read. But and unfortunately, I've got a dine and dash here. I got to get back to my computer and doing some work. But y'all have a great night, and I certainly appreciate you having me here.
Thank you for phoning in, ID. We're really glad when you call in like that. Thank you again, and look forward to doing a show with you again.
Certainly, and I'll be back around. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, and where are we going next?
All right, next we're going to have rights about the upcoming contest, Anything Goes. And the first one is a SoundCloud, Beauty Flares by Puddles.
Beauty Flares by Barb Christing. Thunder rolls across bloated skies. Bones rattle and moan till pain shoots through grays to illuminate teeth pulled back in flashing fear. Lightning strikes with a fierceness that rebukes defense, demands attention, ignites a fire that rages, blows wild, untamed. Its heat blisters all life, turns gnarled bark to glowing embers. Beauty flares till limbs collapse, consumed, transformed to ash, then silence holds the space. As light splashes upon ground, long starved of sun's warmth, seedlings stretch and grow, expand their lungs to breathe, and take their place in the nourished soil where the mighty oak once laid down roots.
Excellent read, and right there, Barb. Beauty flares. Thunder rolls across bloated skies. It bones rattle and moan, and there was a line in here that really strikes with a fierceness that rebukes defense,
just your word choice, the power of your words, the wordplay demands attention, ignites a fire that rages. You just grab the reader's attention, turns gnarled bark to glowing embers, like your word choice. Colorful, beautiful word choice, wordplay in here, amazingly written. And Naomi, what did you think of Barb's write?
Absolutely, I agree. You know, what a wonderful write. And, you know, another layered write that you know, I read earlier and I reread, like I must have reread it, I don't know how many times, you know. And, you know, I got, you know, the fire, you know, the fire that destroys everything and, you know, the cycle of life that goes around. But, you know, describe it so, so well. But I also got this feeling, and it's so weird, but I also got this feeling of aging and, you know, how we, you know, we flare in our, you know, in you know, that when we're in our 20s or whatever, and then we age and we pass away and another, a new person is born. I got all these kinds of different directions from this right, Barb. You know, you really set my mind flying with this poem, I'm telling you. And, you know, I really love that, you know, when a poem can do that, makes me think, makes me try to analyze, like every line of this is just amazing. And, I really, really, you know, appreciated this write so well. And, you know, the way it flows too, you know, it just, you know, it flows so effortlessly, but it's so powerful at the same time. And it's not very long. You know, this is considered like a brevity, and, you know, but it's such a powerful brevity. And like I said, so layered, and it can take you, I think, in so many different directions. And so very thought provoking, and wow. And I can't wait for Jody to comment, see his analyst analyze this, because he's such a great commenter, Diane Moore. And then you say what you know all about the poem.
Well, you know what, Naomi, when you talked about the aging, I was down in the last stanza, and I was reading the last stanza again when you talked about aging, and then it says transform to ash. Of course, you know, when you reach that stage in your life, you're transformed to ash. You become ash. We all do, we all will, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts or ways around it. And then another reason I thought of the aging like you was the seedlings stretch and grow, expand their lungs to breathe and take their place in the nourished soil where the mighty oak once laid down roots. And when you age to that elderly state, you are a mighty oak. And I felt that in there as well. And beauty flares for the title for me after that, after reading it again and pulling out that metaphor. It's amazing how this was written, really well done. And Jody, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I agree with what everyone said. I really enjoyed the vivid descriptions of nature's cycles in this. What really caught my attention was the use of the metaphorical language that she had in the poem. You know, like you were saying, the beauty flares till limbs collapse and lightning strikes with fierceness. You know, I thought that added a depth to the exploration of life's trials and the potential for rebirth. Very thought-provoking reflection on this, throughout this poem, on the stoical language, nature of existence and the enduring power of regeneration. Excuse me. I had heartburn for a second. But yeah, no, it was very well done.
Yeah, it certainly was very well done. And I like what you said there about the limbs collapse, consumed, and then there was a part about terror. Oh, I missed it. I lost it. But just, Barb, what you captured here
and transformed into the wording and everything. It's just an amazing, I think, a metaphor for me transformed to ash. That line stood out for me. And what did you want to share on this poem and what you were writing here, Barb?
I'm actually sitting here, Diane, chuckling because y'all are poem whisperers. I swear, I wrote this for a contest prompt on aging. And I felt like I didn't get the essence of this is a poem about a human aging and that, you know, late midlife, you have that beauty that flares once the kids are gone and you get to rediscover who you are. There's a flare in your beauty. And then the next generation takes over. I thought I didn't spell it out clear enough, so I did not submit it to the contest. And yet you whisperers figured it out. I'm telling you, I'm sitting here smiling. You have, my heart's aglow. You've made my day. I guess I got a little bit of the meaning in there. So I just appreciate your comments. Made my day. So thank you all.
Oh, that's awesome. Because you, my dear, it's because of how you presented it. When you put it together like that and grab all the things of life about aging and you know, like silence holds the space as light splashes up on ground. Like you capture so much on getting old and the beauty that flares with it, though. Like it's just amazing, right? You did a wonderful job here. I'm really glad you put it into this contest.
Thank you.
Okay, and where are we going next?
All right. Next we got Poetic Recipe by CRL17. And Naomi, would you get that read for us?
Okay, yes. Poetic Recipe. All the main ingredients, filet of phrases, consume of contents, grilled grammar, sentence salads, a pinch of prose, steamed stanzas, mashed meter, roasted rhymes, boiled brevity, savory soliloquies, half-baked haikus, simmering syllables, baked in ballads, sorbet of syntax, acrostic comfort food, with mixed metaphors that create a poetic feast. End poem.
Oh, you know what? I was hoping somebody would write to this one because I remember this prompt. It was a recipe. Do a recipe for anything. And it looks like what CRL 17 did here was a recipe for a poem or a recipe for writing a poem. All the main ingredients, fillets of phrases, consume of contents, grilled grammar, sentence salads, like the alliteration, and a pitch of prose, steamed stanzas, mashed meter, just awesome recipe for writing a poem. And then the AP Family Cookbook, it's just really, really well done. I really enjoyed this, right? It so followed the prompt and gave us a recipe for a poem. Excellent, excellent. And Naomi, what did you think of that?
Oh, absolutely. It was just such a joy to read. You know, and the photo that he made up, oh my gracious, that's so cute. Eh? That's so great. AP Family Cookbook, Stories and Recipes from Our Table, from the AP site. I really like this, you know, down to the comfort food and you know, the ballads and, you know, so he used all those cooking, you know, how he came up with all those cooking words, adjectives and verbs. It's just amazing. And, so well done. So bravo, Chuck, on this write. It really, really grabbed my attention, and I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah, for sure. Between the word choice of the cooking words and the poetry words, my favorite line was half-baked haiku. It was, you know, Chuck did an amazing job on this. Really well done. And Barb, what did you think?
Ditto to absolutely everything you two ladies have already said. And it's so funny. That was the one line I was going to point out, Diane, was half-baked haiku. I think haiku is three lines of confusion for most poets. No one seems to agree on what a haiku is, at least in my unlearned mind. I haven't figured it out yet. So, yeah, all my haikus are rather half-baked at this point. I thought it was just a delightful little recipe that Chuck is cooking up for us here, and he did a great job with alliteration, and it all made sense, which is weird, but I thought he did a fantastic job of, I want to sit down and feast on this, because I need to imbibe some of this stuff so that it flows through my pores a little bit more. It is the cutest poem ever.
It is, and his last line there, that create a poetic feast, he created a feast for us out of this one and did an excellent job of it. And Jody, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was definitely a delectable array of literary delights. I thought, the playful use of food-related imagery, definitely added an extra layer of enjoyment to the poem. It's truly a delight for, the senses and the soul. All the way through, it was fun to hear that read. Very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very much so. Very well done. Thank you, Chuck, for sending that in. And where are we going next?
All right. Next, we'll have the poem After a Day's Sway by M. Bailuvi. I'm not going to read all in percentages, but I'll go ahead and give this one a read. This ought to be challenging. After a Day's Way. Thumb-tied in the wonder of the wild, 4 foot tall like the crumble of the soul. I wish the stand was in line. I had this subliminal crime. It washed this kringling deer, so I lost someone who was near. The world never seemed the same. I was the one with allegory to be blamed. Was I too long on the line or too fragile? When it came to message, my dear, in time. Clint Eastwood was his sign. All things considered, they had a wondrous way of the mind. The ladder to the sky seemed so far, longer than this pain of a scar. It is as a loss of mind, but this time it is the heart in a bind. One step further to come so close to the last of his scene of a rose. The time on this evening seemed as froze, tingled as if my life stood still. Was this now or reality became real? Denial, in fact, made the mind to deal. Till the funeral made a seal. Clint Black was his feel. Sometimes I hope, but what is hope if you lose someone? The cheer on my mind to set is to love them unbeget. We will ride in this limousine to his annual memory. Howbeit, for what it's worth, the lights in the house start going on and off nonstop, and I can't turn it off. So too do I pine in the pain that does but rose, wither and rise again. For I will celebrate his memory and his name. He might be riding like Clint Boyer and the ladder to the sky, stock racing his day. The line might be long, but he is there to stay, meeting all sorts of people, from the good to them who've paved the way. However, in a manner, a moment silenced does not sway. It is always on the notion, what could I have to say? I received advice from Dr. Time, and she, as he said, one day you'll find the way too hard is to let go, but by no means forget, for he was part of your soul. You were friends, in-laws, fighting by hands, and when the moonlit struck, so will you see in luck. Rebirth be grant, the ladder to heaven, the skies do bend, so that you once again may be friends in another land. The recipe to this pain is not to shame, but to love them whom are yet with, and the reality of his name, for that is seen, is to love all being, regardless of soul. May heaven bless them who had someone in the fallout fall. So I renounce the wall that separated my soul after a day's way pain. End quote.
Wow, that was an awesome read. Awesome read, Jody. Really well done. Thank you. After a day's way, what an image. Look at that image. Now, this poet took many of the prompts. They took number one, time freeze, number two, recipe, and then up and down the steps and ladders in the sky. They took and wrote about the recipe of pain and at the same time coupled in steps going up to the sky, going up or down, which way, and just built a beautiful piece here on a few of the prompts and captured properly, captured for all the prompts, the efforts of, and put it all into one writing, a recipe. Pain is not to shame, but to love them whom are yet with in the reality of his name. Just an amazing write with powerful wordplay. And Barb, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful write. And I thought she or he, thought they really used the image well, because it was talking obviously about a loss of a loved one. But sounds like the narrator was at a therapist who was telling them, you know, grieve them, but don't let them go. Like, they're part of your soul. You need to embrace that and work through that and love them continually despite their absence. And the fact that, you know, when you think of heaven, you tend to look at the sky and you think somewhere randomly up there is heaven. But in this image, there's that stairway. There's that connection between the person who is left earthbound and the lost love who is now in heaven somewhere. But there is still that connection between those worlds. So like her poem is saying, don't lose that connection. They still speak into your life despite their physical absence. And I think that's a really good reminder for all of us to take the love and the wisdoms and the journeys and the memories that we've had with all the beautiful people, and even some of the not so beautiful people, because everyone teaches us a lesson, whether it's to question yourself or to love yourself. It makes us who we are and helps us become who we're meant to become. But staying connected despite a physical absence of someone, I think, is really, really important. And I think the message of this poem. So I really enjoyed it. She did a delightful job capturing that concept.
Yeah, I do too. I agree with you. That is the essence of the write, and very well written. And Jody, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree. I thought it captured, you know, the complex emotions of grief and remembrance throughout the poem, using it metaphors such as the ladder to the sky and the frozen time. It definitely, you know, had a sense of loss and longing. You know, his reflection on the nature of hope in the face of loss, you know, added depth to the piece, I thought. Overall, you know, it is a very nice tribute to the memory of a loved one and the enduring impact that, you know, they obviously had on his life. Very well done.
Yeah, very much so. Very well done, for sure. And Naomi kind of stepped away, so we'll wait for her to come back for that one, and we'll put up our next poem. Jody, do you have our next right? Jody, are you with us?
Oops. Yeah, I got it. I'm sorry.
Lydia.
I was on.
Okay.
I got it. I was on mute. Sorry. She was asking me to post something because somebody was in the message board, but then they left, I guess. Or... Anyway, here, I got the next phone. It is going to be Casted Dublin's Did the Blooms to the Siren's Appetites by Pam Ray. And Diane, you want to give that a read for us?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to read Miss Pam Ray's right. Casted Dublin's to the Siren's Appetites. A stairway to heaven traveling up on strummed guitar strings. The metallic taste of every movement as I wrestle with heavenly hosts. To demand the giving of my name upon the song of victory I walked with the hobbled knowledge of self. A journey to where halos hide the flaws within humanity and store shop windows are selling the dream of holy compensation. In the golf course of greased palms, preying upon the far side of moonlight, where reality becomes the shadows of a sunken ship and Dublin's casted to sirenic appetites. Brilliantly written, Casted Dublin's to the Siren's Appetites. And colorful, the metallic taste of every movement as I wrestle with heavenly hosts. Pam wrote this one, I think, to the prompt, 17. That I think was the traveling staircase going up to the sky, and she captures here a stairway to heaven traveling upon strummed guitar strings. Just beautiful imagery and metaphor in that line alone, and then a journey to where halos hide the flaws within humanity. And what do you see when you're traveling that staircase to the sky? What do you see but flaws within humanity and flaws within your own humanity to a point? And then store shop windows are selling the dream of holy compensation in the golf course of greased palms, praying upon the far side of moonlight. Just beautifully written and excellent write of with imagery and taking that stairway and what does it bring for you. And Barb, what did you think of this?
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful spiritual write. I loved the two lines you highlighted and also the two just above them. Upon the song of victory I walk, with the hobbled knowledge of self. It's like, how can we accept this amazing gift of heaven and eternal life and singing and walking with the angels, knowing our dirty, sinful selves? I think there's just kind of a mind-bending, reality-warping confusion that we could ever deserve that, and yet we are fully embracing that. But I love those two lines, upon the song of victory I walk. Yes, I'm here. I've walked up the stairs. I'm in heaven with the hobbled knowledge of self. I love those two lines. And also the ones you talked about, Diane, with the journey to where halos hide the flaws within humanity. It's like we are covered in Christ's covenant, and he takes our sin and he makes humanity whole and worthy and loved and accepted and invited to his table. And I thought she did it in a very creative, poetic way, just that dance with ourselves and the disbelief that we could possibly be worthy of anything as grand as what is being offered. I thought she did a brilliant job of that topic.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some sarcasm in there in this. And store shop windows are selling the dream of holy compensation. I mean, isn't that what you know, when you're ascending that staircase and what to expect? and, you know, a journey to where halos hide the flaws within humanity. And then she talks about to demand the giving of my name. And that's what we have to do when we meet that top of that staircase. We have to cough up our name, and we have upon the song of victory, I walk with the hobbled knowledge of self. That's what I pulled out of this too, when we meet that sky, when we ascend that staircase, what knowledge of self do we have to give up? What knowledge of self is going to be shown to us in that place where halos hide? Just an amazing, right? And Jody, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought she did an incredible job, you know, capturing earthly desires and heavenly aspirations, you know, struggle and self-discovery. Skillfully explored the themes of this poem of human fragility and the pursuit of perfection and the lure of materialism with a backdrop of celestial imagery. So I thought that was an amazing job. She did a very good job.
Yeah, for sure. Really good job. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, you know, Pam, when she writes, oh, my gracious. You know, what amazing metaphors. Oh, my gracious. You know, you guys mentioned a lot, you know, and I awesome comments. But, you know, in the golf course of Greece, palms prying upon the far side of moonlight. Oh, my gracious, isn't that an awesome line, you know, amongst so many other ones? And then, you know, the end where reality becomes the shadows of a sunken ship and doubloons cast it to sirenic appetites. Yeah, we are like sirens, you know, gobbling up all, you know, what, you know, like the materialistic happiness and everything, you know, all these earthly sins, and then aspiring to walk those long stairs up to heaven, you know. And so, yeah, like exactly like Jody said, he said it so much better than I could ever say it. But, you know, we're hypocrites, basically. And, you know, and she captured it so, so well in this write. It's such a powerful write. My gracious, such a great writer she is. So talented. Wow. Wonderful, right, Pam?
Yeah, 100%. Awesome, right? And she did this prompt justice. She took that ladders to the sky and she ran with it, and she created this whole scenario. And needing that at the top of that staircase and yourself as you're traveling throughout and what to expect when you get there. Just an awesome, right, Pam? Really well done. Thank you.
Can I just add one thing, Diane? You and Naomi actually helped me see an undercurrent to this poem where religion, separate from one's spirituality or walk with God, but religion is often viewed, and I don't know Pam well enough to know if this was her intent, it's like big business. It's like they are selling your dream for eternity in return for 10% of everything you make. And so I do see that tongue-in-cheek, that's great, heaven's good, but it's being sold, and that's not good. So it's interesting. That's one thing I love about these forums is you guys help me see the same poem in a different light. So thank you for that. I'm going to read it again later tonight and think upon it.
Awesome. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, Barb. And that's where I saw the sarcasm come in. And store shop windows are selling the dream of holy compensation. It's something that can't be sold. And you hit that right on the nail right on the head with that. Excellent observation. Thank you.
And did everyone share?
Yeah, I think
yeah.
so.
Okay,
yeah.
Where are we headed next?
All right, next we got Always on My Mind by Reverie Raynaud. And Puddles, you give us a read, please.
Are you on mute, Puddles?
I am. I thought I'd said enough this evening. no, I'm sorry. Always on My Mind by Reverie Raynaud. I never searched for you, but there you were, always on my mind, looking at me with those eyes filled with empathy, promising me that you will never leave, making me confused because you didn't just say that to me, but to millions like me. You wanted an excuse to smile like they used to before they were forced to shake hands with Mr. Reality. No, I never used to like you, not even one bit, but your actions and not just sugar-coated words made me fall into this pit. Now you won't bear the consequences of what you did, leaving me alone sulking to find a way out of it. I never felt this rush of adrenaline inside me the way I do when you act all cutesy. Little by little, I was willing to see the layers of you as you peel yourself, tripping slightly as I walk fast to catch you hands before it's too late. Nope. I never told you I'd learned all those songs which reverberated my deep thoughts just so I could tell you clearly what I fantasized each day about us. But I forgot that we were only acquaintances in my dreams, and you were never mine to begin with. And there I never told you they hurt me, the ones who pushed me aside and claimed to love you more than me. What if I told you that I was incapable of tolerating my own heart? Would you ignore me? But just know that I might have lost my heart, but not my self-control. So I asked you one last time, do you even know that I exist? Or all this time, what you said was just like a speck of dust on your shoulder, which you brushed off without bothering. I won't love you. Not no more, because I am not a toy to be controlled and played with. End poem.
Brilliant read there, Barb. You read that beautifully. And I'm just reading the author's notes, just a small showcase of my confusion and frustration for liking someone who's fictional and doesn't even know I exist. And I thought that was exactly where the poet was taking this piece. Because of the line that says, where is it? It talks about dreaming and going into a dream, and then, you know, this always on my mind was this person in a dream that didn't exist, and it's like the writer is looking for this person and can't find them and can't reach them because they're not reality, they're a dream, and just excellent metaphor here. And Barb, you read that beautifully. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a really interesting poem about unrequited love. It's about, I think we can want something so bad, we fantasize it into our own perceived reality. And the person who's the subject of our affections is completely oblivious of our existence. And yet we tell ourselves these stories because it's something in the moment that we need. And I thought she did a really good job capturing that, not just the exuberance, needing the adrenaline rush, but also just the despair when you finally realize it really was just all in my mind. And then you project that loss of the love that never was, and kind of an embarrassment that you created something in your own mind because of your own desperate need to be loved. And there's a deep despair in realizing that you have fallen to such an extent that you're just making things up. I thought you did a great job of describing, I think, what a lot of people go through as they're swiping right or left. I don't know. I've never been on one of those things. I don't know what right means or left means. But when you're just going through, it's just become such a superficial thing. I think we've lost the ability to really love and feel and understand when love is reciprocated, because everything has remained so incredibly superficial. Really, really smart, right?
Yeah, smart, right? And what we're describing about the reality, you know, sums it up in that last line in that first stanza, or the last two lines. But to millions like me who wanted an excuse to smile like they used to before they were forced to shake hands with Mr. Reality. And I think she's talking about herself, you know, like her reality is this person that doesn't exist. And that's her reality, because she's shaking hands with Mr. Reality. Just a brilliant right. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, I, you know, that was such an awesome comment there about, comments from both of you. You know, I'll just add, you know, what I really liked the write about the writing of the piece. You know, I really liked when she said little by little, you know, of course she says, you know, she didn't even actually like him at all, you know, but little by little, I was willing to see the layers of you as you peel yourself, tripping slightly as I walk fast to catch you hands before it's too late. You know, that idea there that, you know, he puts a little skipping into her walk. You know, she walks a little bit faster because, you know, she's dreaming of this Mr. Wright. and what is the other part that I really liked? The part about the songs. No, I never told you I learned all those songs which reverberated my deep thoughts just so I could tell you clearly what I fantasized each day about us. But I forgot that we were only acquaintances in my dreams. You know, so she learned all these songs too, you know, which is amazing. It's amazing how she really taps our attention in this poem and mixes you know, the reality in with it, because, you know, you do all these things, you know, your little skip, little walk faster, learning all those songs that make you dream about this person. And, you know, this is really a great write. And I really like, you know, when she talks about flicking them off like a speck of dust on your shoulder, you know, that she brushes off, and in the last line, you know, which she regains her power there. But all the way through, an excellent write.
For sure. It was a brilliant write. And Jody, take us out with your comment.
Yeah, I thought, you know, she definitely captured, you know, the bittersweet journey of someone that's, you know, in unrequited love, right? You know, how complex that can be, you know, the longing you go through, the vulnerability you're willing to give that not reciprocated. Then, you know, eventually you got to come to that self-realization, like, I just ain't the one. So, yeah, I thought she did a very good job of that, you know, had a sense of raw honesty to it, and introspection, making it real relatable to anybody's experience, the kind of, you know, ache of yearning for someone like she did. Very well done.
Very well done. Excellent show. Excellent rights. I mean, the rights were amazing today. Thank you all for coming in and joining us on the show and putting your comments in there. You guys are great. Love doing the shows with you.
It was a great night. Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah, great poetry.
Thank you.
Sure. Everybody have a good night.
Thank you. Awesome show, Diane, Jody. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Yeah,
happy writing.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.